Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David continues the series on relationships with a look at leading with integrity. Let's listen.
What makes for a good leader? Like when you think of a leader that you look up to, that has the qualities and traits of a strong leader, what does that person look like? I mean, I was thinking of a couple. I would think a good leader has the ability to lift the whole organization to new heights, right? I would think a good leader has the ability to inspire the people who are following that leader and really harness the whole energy of the group to work with renewed energy towards a common goal. I would say a good leader understands how to get the most from her team and really encourages each individual on that team to hold themselves to high expectations, to get the most out of themselves. I wonder, what experiences have you had in your life with good leadership? On the flip side of that, how would you describe a bad leader? A leader that you've really struggled working under, and you would say, that is not how I would want leadership to look. I thought a bad leader will demotivate the whole group that they are in charge of and will really drain the passions of its members. I thought that a bad leader will put himself up front, first and foremost, as the center of attention and will generally take credit for the work of the work that is done of the team. A bad leader cannot be counted on to keep her word or to follow through with the tasks that are assigned to that leader. What experiences of bad leadership have you observed in your life? Well, I bet that all of us can think of plenty of examples of both good and poor leadership in our lives. The question I want to really think about and have us discuss today is, where are you leading? And what does your realm of leadership look like? I mean, when you think of your own leadership, you may be a leader in your workplace right now, where you have a lot of people who depend on you and look up to you. You may be a leader in your family system, or you may be a leader in the community in which we live. Yes, there are many different opportunities for leadership. And so what sort of a leader are you? Well, we are in the midst of our summer series on relationships. I mean, you can see behind me, we've got the word that we're going to focus on today. And then over here to my right, we've got the last 5 weeks, the images of what we've studied each week, because each image has corresponded to a trait of a relationship, a type of relationship that God has something to say about. Today's trait that we are looking at is what makes a godly leader. What does the Bible have to say about leading people and leading people well? I'd like to begin by simply wondering out loud, what are good examples of godly leadership in the Bible? And I mean, there are tons and tons that we could pick from to study today. I'm just gonna pick two. I'd like to pick David, and I'd like to pick Jesus as two examples of people in the Bible that really teach us and exemplify what godly leadership looks like. Now, we're starting with David, although I fully acknowledge that about midway through David's reign, he really, really messed up, and he really gave up his authority to lead well in a godly way. And so you might be wondering, well, why are we studying David when it comes to leadership? And the reason is because the first half of his reign was lauded for his ability to be a godly leader, and particularly to be a leader who was after God's own heart, which is pretty high praise. And so there must have been something there initially in those first years of David's reign that made him a good example of godly leadership. It may not have lasted. It did not follow him through his entire reign, but what made him be chosen by God initially to be a leader? Let's start there by looking at King David. We're going to start with a psalm that speaks about David's leadership abilities. The psalm, Psalm 78, says, God chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep he brought him, to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. So this speaks to a time when David was not yet a king. No, David was a shepherd, where he would be there in the fields caring for people, caring for his sheep, and if something came, say a bear or a lion that threatened his sheep, he would protect them, he would shepherd them. He was a good shepherd. Well, God saw David, and something about David made God understand that he could also shepherd God's people, that he had within him some ability to not simply shepherd sheep, but to shepherd people. What were those qualities that God saw within David? Well, the next verse goes on to list those qualities. It says, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. Yes, there are two leadership qualities that I want to point out. The first is that David shepherded with integrity of heart. What does the word integrity mean? Well, if you look it up, there's a surprising amount of variant definitions. And so I've narrowed it down to two that I think do a good job of describing what integrity is. Here's the first one. Integrity is strictly adhering to moral or ethical principles. So here's an example. A person believes that it is wrong to steal. And then as he's walking through his neighborhood, he sees a wallet on the ground. And he picks up that wallet, and the person with integrity decides that even though no one is watching, and no one's going to notice if he just puts that wallet in his pocket and walks to his home, no, the person with integrity knows deep within his heart that it is wrong to steal, even if he won't get caught for it. And so he opens up the wallet and finds some identification and then is able to return the wallet to its owner. Yes, a person with integrity is adhering to strict moral principles regardless of the situation or circumstance. On the other side, a person without integrity might walk along and find that wallet, realize that no one's watching, and then begin to tell himself a story. A story that might say, well, I'm not really stealing, I'm just finding this wallet. And it's not really going to hurt anybody. I mean, after all, this person was so careless that they just left their wallet here. I mean, it's not really my fault. And if I don't take this wallet, I mean, someone else probably will, and I can't find the person anyway. Yeah, a person without integrity might also believe that it is wrong to steal, but when given the opportunity, particularly in a gray area, well, that person can come up with reasons why, in this case, it is okay to steal. The person of integrity follows a moral code in their life. Here's the second definition. It goes along with the first. A person with integrity is someone doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Yes, integrity is the willingness to do what is right because it is right. Sometimes we do what is right because we want to please others. Sometimes we do what is right because it feels good in that instance, or we do what is right because we think it will benefit us in some way down the line. But integrity is the willingness to do what is right, period. Well, David is being praised by God as someone who will make a good leader because he has integrity of the heart, which means that as a leader, you can count on him to lead and to do the right thing even when it is not convenient or advantageous to him, but simply because it is right. So thinking of this first trait of a godly leader, being integrity, it makes me wonder, How can you model integrity in your life, in your workplace, or in your family system? How can you lead with integrity? And how can you then encourage integrity within whatever realm you lead in, whether that is your family system or your workplace organization? How can you encourage this leadership attribute of integrity? Well, I told you there were two traits that David had that God really seemed to notice. Let's now look at the second one. David possessed the skills needed to lead. Yeah, the psalmist says, with skillful hands, he led them. So what we read here is that David simply had the ability to lead. In leadership, it is important for a leader to be capable. I mean, you want your doctor to have gone to med school, right? It's not enough for your doctor to be a person of integrity, to have integrity of the heart. No, they also need to have the skills if I'm going to be willing to trust my life with them. A leader will put in the work that is needed to develop the skills for whatever job or task that they have in front of them. Have you heard that phrase, a born leader? As if you're looking at a person and you go, oh, that person is a born leader. I think that the sentiment of that sort of phrase is to say that that person has a natural giftedness in some of the qualities that we assign a leader to have, whether that's charisma or a confidence or something like that. But I would argue that a born leader is the exception and not the rule. Generally, I believe that most leaders are not born, but instead they commit the necessary time to developing the skills they need in order to lead in whatever situation God has called them to. Yeah, they spend the time educating themselves and learning the nuances of their field so they are able to lead well. What we have learned here is that David possesses both integrity of the heart and also the skills, the capability needed to lead his people well. I believe that it is no accident that God lists both of these qualities together, both integrity of the heart and the skills and the capability to lead. Because can you imagine if you just had one and not the other? These things make a natural partnership with each other, but if you just had one and not the other, that would not make a very good leader. Let me give you an example. What if you just had the skills to be a good leader, but you did not have integrity of the heart? Well, an example I thought of, which is in a bit of the distant past now, but is that example of the company Enron. Do you remember what happened there? Where at the height, you know, at its peak, that company was valued at $60 billion. Yes, the leaders were skilled in what they were doing. They had the capability to do well what their job required them to do. But the leadership lacked integrity. They did not adhere to any sort of moral code. And so they began to have some really unfair accounting practices that they then hid. And when they came to light, all these illegal accounting practices, well, what happened was that the whole company ended up going bankrupt, where in the span of about 18 months, the shares went from trading at $90 a share to less than $1 a share. The people who paid for that were not necessarily the leaders who did the illegal actions, but it was the employees of the company. Those who saw their 401ks evaporate almost overnight, their life savings gone just like that. Because this was an example of leaders in a company having the skills to make profit and to do their job well, at least on the outside, but without the integrity to lead, it ended up in disaster. In a similar way, it is not wise to put a person with a good heart in a leadership position that they are not prepared for. Because in doing so, you're simply setting that person up to fail. It is the combination of integrity of the heart and skillful leadership that can make a good leader. And what's really neat is to think how that combination will actually leave a lasting legacy. So the psalmist says that God noticed both of those traits in David. And then a little bit later on, we read an account in a story of David's son Solomon. And it's the moment that he, Solomon, is going to be king, and God comes and has a conversation with him. I want you to notice or see if you pick up on some of the same traits that God now lifts up to David's son Solomon. When we're told this, God says to him, "As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, with integrity of heart," there's that phrase again, "and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. And as I promised David your father, when I said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel.'" Well, God is encouraging David's son Solomon to continue in the footsteps of leadership that he saw modeled for him, especially in that first part, that first half of the reign of David. When God says to Solomon, "Continue walking faithfully with integrity of the heart." And then God says, "And I will continue to equip you as a leader." Some of you have been able to look to your parents or other people in your life that have been this example of a combination of integrity and capability. And they've been example for you. They've left a legacy for you to be that sort of leader in your life. Others did not have that example from your parents or other mentors in your life, and you've had to really find those sort of examples on your own and what leadership looks like for you. But hopefully, all of us can say that today we are being that example for people who look up to us, people who are younger than us that look to us and say, "What does leadership look like?" Hopefully, we are also leaving this sort of lasting legacy of integrity and capability. Well, I said I wanted to study two different people in the Bible and what they can teach us about leadership. And so you've got David on one hand with integrity and capability and what a natural partnership that makes. But I would be remiss if we did not study probably the greatest leader, which is Jesus himself. Jesus speaks a lot about leadership traits as well. And so we have now one example from the Old Testament, and now let's look at one example from the New Testament to see what Jesus has to say about being a leader. We're going to pick up a story when Jesus calls his disciples over and begins to teach them about leadership. It begins in this way. It says, "Jesus called them together," meaning his disciples together, "and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials impose their authority on them.'" Okay, let's pause there. So Jesus is describing the context that he currently lives in when he wrote this. He speaks of the Gentiles. And a Gentile is simply anyone who was not a Jew. So in this time period, when Jesus speaks of the Gentiles who are in charge, he's most likely speaking of maybe the Roman government or some of the Greek officials, something in that capacity. Those are the Gentiles who are in charge. And when Jesus sees these governments in action, he notices that their authority is imposed and not earned. Now, the word leader implies that there are followers, right? There are followers who follow the leader. And when Jesus looks at the way of the world in his context, he sees leaders that are using force, coercion, and even threats in order to make people follow them. He does not see the people who are freely following their leaders. He sees people who are forced to follow their leaders. the point that Jesus is about to make is that this is not how it should be in the kingdom of God. No, if you are a leader in the kingdom of God, then you must lead in a different way, a way where your leadership does not lord it over the people who are following you, and in such a way that you do not need to impose your leadership on people, but people will freely want to follow. What does that look like? Well, Jesus goes on to say this. He says, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, which is a title for Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The first thing that I want you to notice here when we're talking about Jesus' idea of leadership is that Jesus does not require you to be a leader in the kingdom of God. No, Jesus says, whoever wants to, right? Whoever wants to become great in the kingdom of God. It's not something that Jesus is forcing on anybody. But if you want to become great in the kingdom of God, then Jesus lays out exactly how we are to do that. Jesus says that we are to pursue leadership positions that enable us to serve. I mean, how different is that? Generally, we pursue leadership positions because of what it will get us, right? Maybe it'll get us more prestige and acclaim if I'm doing that leadership position. Or perhaps I'll be compensated better if I can do that leadership position. Perhaps people will just look up to me and I'll feel better about myself if I can do that leadership position. But Jesus says, that's not the type of leaders I'm looking for in the kingdom of God. Instead, I'm looking for leaders who want to use their leadership abilities and positions to serve. That is the type of leader I'm looking for. Those who are willing to be a servant and a slave to all. I would say that all those other things, they're fine, but they can never be the main driver of why we would seek a leadership position. Instead, the driving force must be the passion to serve. And so if you're able to see a leadership position, the question you can ask is, am I equipped well to then use that leadership position to serve the people who may follow, the people who would depend on me if I accepted that leadership position? Do you see how it takes then the focus off of the individual and what they would get from being a leader, and instead gives that person, the leader, the responsibility for those who they are leading, and puts the focus on the people and not the leader? Because that is the sort of leader that Jesus was. Because Jesus, God incarnate, could have come into our world and said, listen, I'm going to be the leader, and so you all simply just need to follow me because I am in charge, right? And we would have, because it is God in the flesh. But that's not how God came. Instead, God came to earth and said, you know, I'm going to serve. And I'm going to be the ultimate servant to all. In fact, I will take that service so far that I will give up my life as a ransom for many. That is how far I will take this idea of servanthood. And in doing that, he has given us a model to follow. I hope and pray that you have all been given leadership opportunities in your life, and I have no doubt that you will have more in front of you as well. As you think and consider about taking a leadership position, please remember these two examples of David and Jesus, where you can think of yourself to say, can I, in this leadership position, have integrity of heart? And do I have the hands that are skilled and capable to do the job well? And am I motivated by the ability to serve? Because if you can say yes to those three things, then there's a good chance that God is calling you into that leadership position. Amen.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.